Today on the show, we break down and review episode 5 of the live-action Fallout TV show. Buckle up, everybody. We're headed into the wasteland. Welcome to Fallout Fans, a limited series podcast where we discuss all things Fallout, including and especially the live-action Fallout TV series. Watch all 8 episodes of the first season of Fallout, available exclusively on Amazon Prime Video, and then join us here as we break down and review each episode. Fallout Fans is brought to you by Megadads. Find us at megadads.org and Megadads on YouTube. Please consider subscribing on this show. We value your opinion. We want to see your comments. Leave your own review in the YouTube comments. Let us know what the episode ranks for you, 0 to 5 stars. The audio version of the show is available wherever you get your podcasts. Again, just search for Megadads. We use a special methodology to help us break down and review each episode. We talk about the best moments of the episode, the visuals, standout performances, discuss how the show's fans stands up to fan scrutiny, talk about what we hated, and cap things off with a 5-star review. This is your spoiler warning. Watch the show for yourself, then come back here and break it down with us. Again, please leave a 5-star review of the show or your thoughts in the comments. Today, I'm joined by the Pip-Boy himself, my best bud, Clay Howard. How are you doing?
I'm doing so good. How are you doing?
I'm sad that this show is going to end. Like, I am so hyped on it that knowing that there's going to be a period of time between the end and when season 2 comes, which, again, has been greenlit, thank God, I don't know what I'm going to do with myself. It's literally that good. It gets better and better. This show is just, it's wild. I'm on the edge of my seat the whole time and I can't wait to talk about it. So let's go ahead and jump right in the back half, starting with episode 5 of the 8 episode season 1. Starting with Strength, where we talk about the best scene or moment of the episode. Clay, why don't you tell me what you thought the best moment was from episode 5?
Yes. So my favorite scene would have to be the bridge scene.
Nice.
It was a really well done scene. I think I loved the way that they, did it. I think they built off the tension perfectly. And everyone was very uncomfortable and didn't trust each other. But then there was also this kind of mixture of Lucy in the picture where she's like just trying to be like, all right, can we all just be grown-ups and just like walk past each other on a bridge? Like, she's just not used to this world still, even though it's like chewed her up and spit her out at this point. And so she's just trying to be the peacekeeper. And then the other two and Maximus are like super apprehensive about each other. All of this played on top of the song Lady Fingers by Herb Albert and the Tijuana Brass, which is from the game soundtrack, if I remember correctly. And so it was just a beautiful use of that song. I loved how they used it, kind of this slow motion where you're seeing it, both sides' faces and reactions. And then all of a sudden, the closer they get to these people, the more they realize that they're junkies of some sort. They're not sure what yet. And obviously, things go sour real fast. And it kind of feels like a Western a little bit, just this whole eyeballing each other. And then things go and they start shooting. And then come to find out that they're basically these cannibal people. I forget what they called them.
Not freaks. I can't recall either.
Yeah, but it was like a one-word little thing like that, like griffs.
She's like, "Who's that?" And he's like, "People that eat people."
Yeah, but I don't know. I just like that scene a lot. I mean, Fallout itself, a lot of the game is just walking around in the wasteland and then coming across people and having interactions with people. And sometimes you don't know if they're good or bad, and you don't know what's going to happen. And so I think this was kind of a fun way of like, hey, there's this bridge and it's the only way across. And so it's forcing these people to be close to each other. And so I really enjoyed that one.
Fiends. Now I remember.
Fiends.
He's like, those are fiends. Yeah.
Yep.
I agree. I mean, great moment. I love when you have that peak of, Lucy does say like the people in the vault where I come from were naive, and she gets to have that like glimmer of hope. Like maybe I have an idea that could stop this from becoming just a, you know, a bloodshed moment, which is, you know, what she would like, but right. Not understanding that let's assume things are going to be bad, which is what everybody else on the surface does. So I agree. It's a beautiful moment of tension. The fiends, I didn't understand, you know, why exactly they turned. I think the camera pans to Lucy's Pip-Boy.
Yep.
And maybe it was just her wrist and it was like, oh, I want to eat her. But they saw something about the Pip-Boy and then like, you know, had that grin of like, okay, I'm going to turn on you now. Like you have something I want. So it was unclear to me.
I wonder if she identified the Pip-Boy and realized she was a vault dweller and thought, this is clean meat, you know,
something.
It's healthy.
Clean
it's
meat.
Been seriously, yeah. Like she hasn't been, you know, this person was below ground and isn't full of radiation. Even though she was just recently full of radiation, but either that or she just wanted to steal the Pip-Boy and sell it for money or whatever. With the other thing. Yep.
I had two strong moments. The first one, the winner has to be when they go up to the city and it's, you know, Lucy and Maximus and there's a giant crater and he's explaining that civilization did try to restart. There were like 34,000 people here or whatever, and now it's just gone again. And that realization that I had as the viewer to be like, oh, they did start to rebuild again. And Lucy has the same realization saying like Reclamation Day, when we are supposed to come out and lead the way to civilization, never happened. He's like, well, it did, but it didn't work out. So they started without you and failed. And it's just like that thing about Fallout of like war never changes and how like it's inevitable that things are going to go wrong. It just really hit home. And when I realized that, like, wow, they did already rebuild and it tragically is gone yet again. I wasn't sure about this. And I wanted to ask you, he says, cause there's a lot of ambiguity, a lot of the history and data that we're getting could totally be explained away by, that's what they know, or that's what they've been told. And, you know, not everybody has all the facts on history, I don't think. So he says the bombs dropped when I, you know, not the Great War, but the bombs dropped when I was young. And then she goes, are you sure about that? Because, you know, she's thinking it's the bombs that were dropped and another time in the Great War. And then he's like, no, when I was young. And then, you know, she's kind of doubting him. He's kind of doubting her. And then it does get revealed that he's from that city that was bombed and survived. Did you understand that to mean that that's the bombs dropped as a child that he was referring to?
Yes.
Okay. And that makes a lot of sense. So there was, you know, when they talk about the bombs and, you know, great tragedy, it's like, oh, you mean this one? And then she's like, no, the one that put me underground. It's wild. I thought that was a really strong moment and just
so
that sense of loss.
My question is, was it that way in the games? Were there multiple, like, nuclear wars that took place in the games? Like, obviously not during the game, but, like, were there multiple before they came up? I guess I like the lore of these games, but I wasn't always like a big reader or whatever. And so if it wasn't something that was like really prominent in the storyline, I don't know if I necessarily would remember. So that's why I can't remember. Was it canon before the show that there was multiple times that there was rebuilding and more nuclear bombs, or was it just one, you know, the Great War and that was it? Do you know?
Well, I've been playing Fallout 4 and I've been reading more just because I don't recall a lot of the story and I'm trying to catch up, but I'm also trying to see the lore as getting more of that Fallout weird goodness. And it's there. And you read a lot of information in the, you know, holotapes on the computers, in the like scraps of notes and stuff. So there is a lot of history that even the gamers don't know completely. But I can say that, as you recall, in one of the Fallout games, we had Megaton, and it does get that there's a way that it could get destroyed by a bomb. And I think what this is we can assume that it was nuclear just because the whole city was one giant crater, right? That's what we're assuming.
Right.
How it was dropped, who did it, I think is a question. I don't think this resets any lore as far as the city existing and them rebuilding to that size. It could have just been like a footnote or blip in history that was just gone. It does complicate things because the show's supposedly set in California and in this area where you've played games as a player, as a gamer before, and you spent a lot of time in this area. So something that they talk about is the New California Republic, the NCR. And, you know, as the show goes on, they reveal more, but long story short is they supposedly had this rise of this huge population. And I don't think that was part of the lore that this city existed. I had never heard of it. I even forget the name. Do you recall the name of the
Sandy Shores?
Yeah, so I had not heard of that in any games. So very odd. I think we're going to learn more as we go on, and maybe not even all of it in this season. Who knows? But the fact that that city exists, I mean, that could be a whole like thread in future seasons or something, like what happened in that city as they were building it up. A lot of people have been talking online about like, do we stick with these characters in season two? Do we add more and we have more time pieces like within the timeline of the show and like people living at different times? There's so much that they could do with it. But I thought it was, yeah, great, great moment.
I was wrong, by the way.
We don't know.
It was Shady Sands. Sorry.
Shady Sands. I'm not going to remember that.
The one I said before was from GTA, Sandy Shores. So sorry about that. I want to say that Shady Sands was in New Vegas, wasn't it?
You know what? I don't know, but now I'm going to go look it up when we get a chance.
Maybe I'm
to figure that out. That'd be cool. I'd be down for it.
I'd be careful how much you read on it, because there's some spoiler stuff on here.
Spoilers. Be careful, people. Anyway. Moving on to Perception. Let's talk about interesting or standout visuals or sound effects in the show. Now, I did want to talk about this because there were points that I think were really amazing. There is a moment where the fusion core is pulled from the power armor and the sound effect is pulled from the game. And I think that those small touches like that are pretty cool, pretty awesome. I think that the visual of the city being a giant crater looked really decent. And the standout visual moment was when things go down on the bridge between Lucy Maximus and these fiends. It was short and brutal, this like gunshots back and forth. And then they get the first girl like in the neck and it just kind of like pops her neck out with the bullet. And I just thought that I was like, whoa, whoever they have working on the effects on this show really knows what they're doing. I'm very happy with it. Like, again, short and brutal, impactful, like every bullet seems to have like weight and there's danger. And I thought that it was really well done. How about you? Anything stand out to you? Visuals, audible?
Yeah. I think my favorite part was when Vault 33 takes a tour of Vault 32. I think it's 32. Where they're the newly elected leader lady, I forget what they're called.
Overseer.
The new overseer was showing them, while explaining that they're going to send people out to habitate Vault 32. And so as they're walking through it, we're seeing Lucy's brother, and he's looking at everything. And, you know, the viewer, last time we were in there, there was nothing but dead bodies and darkness and gloom and stuff. And so obviously they've cleaned everything up and it looks completely different. But they did a really cool thing where they would kind of, he'd like turn a corner and look into a corner of the room and he would see like a dead body. But it was actually a flashback to when he was there. And so they just kind of seamlessly switch between what the place looks like now and what he remembered it looking like. And I just thought that it was really artistically well done and really drived home a point. And even though we kind of saw it coming, like, why would she be giving them a tour if there was dead bodies everywhere? Like, obviously we knew it was going to be cleaned up, but somehow they still kind of shocked us into being like, wow, they... something weird's going on here. Like, how are they able to flip everything so quickly? And then I just the last thing on that, I love the foosball people are vault boys, and there's just a little speck of blood on his face. I just loved it. I was like, the foosball guys are vault boys. That's so cool. I was tickled by that.
Good catch on that. I didn't notice it actually in my viewing. The thing I wanted to ask you about is Lucy in the beginning of the episode says, I've had a hard week. That basically when we've seen the night and day cycle go throughout the different episodes, this is all happening within a few days is what is implied. And then with the song that's playing when they come into the vault, the lyrics are saying like, what a difference a day makes. And it's implied that this was done in a shockingly fast way, like literally almost overnight, basically, because they had just searched that vault and had it in complete disarray. So my big question is, what the hell, right? It's like there's almost like a supernatural element. But then he touches the wall and he's like flashing back and he's like, oh, there was blood here. Now there's wet paint. So it's almost like, okay, it was actually done. Because I got like supernatural vibes, but then it was like you're saying with the speck of blood, it's like this was physically done. It wasn't done completely perfectly, but it looks like crazy better in a little amount of time. I'm hoping that's explained because there has to be like hundreds of people working at breakneck speed to get this done. So I'm assuming it's people from the other vault somehow. I don't know.
Yeah, because there's no way the overseer did that all on her own, right?
Right, like exactly. It's something's up. And there, I think you're intended to think that, like, you know, what's going on here? And I thought it was weird. But yeah, that definitely works as a visual moment. Endurance. Can the Fallout TV series stand up to fan scrutiny? Incredibly, it looks like it can. Again, across the board, we have rave receptions. I want to read from a very high upvoted post on a Reddit episode 5 review/spoiler thread. And this is the top one. God, I'm so invested in the vault plot. I know it's fucked, but I'm curious how it's fucked up. So this is what on everybody's mind is the vault plot. We've said it before on different episodes that this was the thread that we just needed to pull and we couldn't get enough of. And by the end of this episode, I was like, this is fever pitch now. I need to know. Every little bit of what's happening is just wild. What they uncover in this episode is that, if I'm understanding this correctly, is that a overseer, their reign or whatever, their tenure lasts 3 years, if I'm reading it right. I don't know. And every 3 years, there's a disaster. And every 3 years, someone comes from the other vault to come in, or someone from that vault who has already come in is then elected as overseer. And then there's like this whole thing about there's a little saying that says, you know, when there's trouble, vote someone from Vault 31 or whatever it is. So that's interesting to me. And the vault plot is just reaching a fever pitch. Do you have any thoughts on that, Clay, the vault plot?
I mean, I don't know if we talked about this on the show yet, but I was kind of normally I'm really excited when they put shows out all at once, and because I like to sometimes I'll literally wait until the whole season drops if they do it like weekly, and then I'll watch it, you know, as quickly as I want to or don't want to. This is a show though where I wish they would have put one out every week, mm-hmm. and make us wait, because I feel like this plot specifically is just like prime for speculation, and I would love to like go and read articles and watch YouTube videos and see what people, but I don't have to. I can literally just go to the next episode and be like, well, let's just find out what happens, because I need to know right now. And so it's like I wish we could come on the show and just be like, let's talk about it, and people would be coming in and listening and going, I wonder what these guys think is going to happen. And so I don't know, I think this is the kind of show, and there's a couple other shows out there right now that are similar to that have like vaults and people underground, and so I like this kind of genre of stuff where you don't really know what's going on. And so I don't know, but I love that they've created it so well, like, you know, something's really messed up, but it's kind of hard to see what it is and when it's coming. So
I agree that. I've always been of just give people the choice. They'll do it like they'll only watch weekly if they want to. So there's really no harm in releasing all at once. And if you want to binge, you could do it on your own time, etc. But now that I see what you're saying, this is me coming to like another realization of the deep value when you have that time to process and speculate with everyone else who may be watching at the same time. Because anyone who's watching or listening to this podcast is making their conscious choice to say, okay, good, this is the spot that I have to like hear other people's thoughts, where I can, you know, weigh in and leave my thoughts and do it episode by episode, but only because we're choosing to chop it up like that. Anywhere else, you don't know what mixed bag of potential spoilers you're gonna get, or, you know, oh, I'm not ready to discuss the ending, but this person is because they rushed through it. It's just like, it's wild. So, you know, I get what you're saying, and I agree. It would be nice. Who knows? Maybe season two, they'll chop it up into the weekly format. That might be nice.
I hope they do. One more thing about endurance I wanted to quickly bring up. I've noticed I have an observation about a certain group of fan base, if you want to call them that, that I think are having a hard time enjoying this show. And I think it's this fan base of people who may maybe like Fallout, maybe in the past have enjoyed them or Bethesda games, and immediately heard that there was going to be a Fallout show and just immediately thought, there's no way this will do well. There's no way this is going to be good. Maybe they even saw the first trailer and were like, this looks stupid. There's no way this will be good. I will admit, real quickly, the first trailer that came out, I did not think looked as good as the second one. Once the second one came out, I was like, this look, and I think you said the same thing, Tony. You're
same.
Like, this is going to look like this looks really good. I think this might actually be really well done. Anyway, back to my original thought, though, I think some people just expected it to fail. And now that it's a huge success just from people's reviews and how well it's been received. And so I think there's a group of people, a mutual friend of ours included, who maybe isn't watching it or doesn't want to watch it and is dragging their feet. And I feel like a lot of it's because they feel they're like kind of butthurt about it because they wanted it to do bad, because they're like, video game, you know, TV shows are bad. Halo should never take his helmet off. And it's just like, just shut up and watch the show, like, enjoy it. And so I think there's people who are writing it off just because they're pissed that it's doing so well, and it's kind of irking me a little bit. But hopefully those people,
the hesitancy of some people, even now that I can confidently say, because before I could say, you know, oh yeah, it's way better than I thought, then I'm just trying to talk it up, and now it's on like a must watch for people who would watch any good show, not necessarily just a video game theme show. I'm like, no, this is something that, you know, some of the best stuff that, you know, I've watched, you know, it has good story, good drama, good characters and acting and all of that. And I think it, on its own right, outside of anything to do with the games, it's like really interesting, compelling. So I hope those people jump in. But you're right. If they had come in with preconceived notions that it was going to fail, it's hard to let go of that. So, yeah. David, watch the damn show.
Oh, there it is.
Charisma. Standout acting or performances in episode 5. I'll take this one. It has to go to the overseer, the one who was elected. I forget the name. I'll try to look it up. Betty Pearson is the name of the character. And she initially seemed like the mother hen. I'm going to take care of... what's the name of the scrawny kid?
Yeah, I forget his name too. Norm.
So it's like, let me make sure Norm's okay. You know, let me make sure that everything's going smoothly here. And then you get this little plot thread that she may be part of something nefarious herself, which I didn't see coming at all. Maybe other people did, but I didn't. And now it's like, oh, out of nowhere, she comes out of left field to win the overseer election. And now she has power and she seems to be, in the very least, knowing about the cleanup of this vault that was like miraculous and out of nowhere, and she has something to do with it. And it's so powerful to see, again, all these side characters have an impact and presence. And I think she does a good job of being, you know, creepy without a whole lot, you know, of dialogue, without a whole lot. It's very dramatic and tense. So that was my winner for best performance. How about you, Clay?
All right, so I try not to go with like the most obvious answer sometimes. I try to think of somebody who maybe you wouldn't think of. I can't find the guy's name, but he's a smaller character. He's also in the vault. It's the tall mustache guy in the vault.
Oh, yeah, the guy when they're voting.
Yes.
And he's talking to the guy about who he voted for.
Yes, yeah, he's like brutally honest. In that scene, and then he comes back and he does it again to the other guy later and just says, hey, just so you know, I didn't vote for you. And I don't know, I just thought it was really well done. He's in some of the earlier stuff and he like shakes his head at Norm one episode because he's like, how are you doing today? He's like, as bad as everyone else is doing. I don't know. I thought that he's not like a funny character, but I thought his scene was really clever. And then I liked how after he said that to that guy, the guy went into the voting booth to vote for himself and he's like, who am I kidding? And he voted for the lady. Yeah, so I picked him for this episode.
His name is Davey, D-A-V-E-Y, Davey in the show. He's played by an actor named Lear Leary, which is a better actor named Lear Leary. But yeah, crazy. he also made an impact on me. I think it's a good character, like a strong like presence, like could be some comic relief a little bit when you need to be. But I agree. I enjoy whenever he's on the screen. So that's great. I'm glad that so many people can make an impact. At first I was kind of iffy on the casting, but I'm like that about a lot of shows. But once they get some time to like spread their wings, I think that it, you know, a lot of people can break out and make an impact. So that's great. Agreed. Intelligence. Dumbest or worst moments or scenes in episode 5. Clay, I'll let you go first on this one. What do you think episode 5 and any weak point to you?
Yeah, I mean, I had a hard time finding one for this one. I think the best I could come up with was Lucy and Maximus getting lured into the hospital at the end. And then like falling down into this thing. Like literally the lights on the ceiling are like directing you down this hallway. Like, I mean, to the viewer, we're like, come on. Like, you can see that they've literally set this up. Once you get through that one door, it's literally just like a sticker on the wall. And so, obviously, I think Maximus lowered his guard a little bit because he was going after Lucy, who Lucy was just, you know, she's still kind of oblivious. And so, it's understandable. But then on top of all of that, once they wake up and they're on these stretchers, they get up and they find out that they're in a vault, which is kind of the end of the episode. But the fact that Lucy, granted, she's from a vault, but I would still be super concerned if all of that just happened to me. Because she's like, we're in the safest place we can be. It's like, no, you just fell down a trap door and are on a freaking, like, stretcher. Like, I would be freaking out regardless. Obviously, she doesn't know that vaults have, like, dark, schemey things going on in them, but I don't know. The whole thing, I would have been, like, freaking out. Like, they're going to eat me or something. I don't know. Just, it didn't all fully, like, play right, but it was still fine, I guess.
I did not know it was a trap. I was, like, when he even goes for the door handle and no door handle's there, it still didn't dawn on me. It was only when he came this way back out and he's trying to get out that he's, like, locked in. That is the first time that I knew it was a trap. So you would survive so much longer in the wasteland than I would, because I did not know. Nice. And I'm like, oh, that's clever. It says medical supplies. Like, that's where people would go to get trapped. So very, very good. Bravo. I think my worst moment is when Lucy and Maximus meet up again and she saves him from the power armor because he's trapped in there. And then he reciprocates, helps her with the Rataway, and the dialogue and the way that they interact seemed very odd to me. The dialogue just didn't seem like he's dumb, like, in a certain ways. When he talks to Thaddeus, he says, "We can still be friends, right? Like, we just got to get our story straight." And then when he talks to Lucy, he's like he's lying to her. But even as he lies, he doesn't sound like confident. Whenever he speaks now, I'm like, this guy is not good at, I don't think it's bad acting. I think he's playing that part and that's who he is supposed to be as a character in the show. And he's pulling it off, but maybe it's just, I don't like the character and I'm starting to be like, man, I like this guy less and less. But when that Maximus is on screen now, instead of being intrigued, I'm kind of just kind of exasperated by him most of the time. And I'm talking about at all times. Like, I just don't, I'm not jiving with it. So, like, he's pointing out the ruined city. He's like, well, if it makes you feel any better, it's, you know, like, I don't know what his aloofness is, but I mean, he's nailing it as a character, but I don't like it. So that's my low point of the episode is when Maximus is up there.
That's valid. I mean, we've been hitting on this since episode one. Like, what is this character? Like, I'm still, like, curious how they're going to play it out. Like, at one point, I was even strongly considering that he's just a flat-up bad guy. And then at one point, I thought, oh, he's just going to be, like, this redemption story where, you know, the wasteland has turned him into a hardened person, but Lucy will bring out the good in him. But we even see in this episode a little bit where she asks his name and he has no reason to lie to her. I mean, she doesn't know that, you know, he let his, you know, knight die. Why did he have to say, I'm Knight Titus? He didn't have to say that, but literally he thinks so low of himself, or he hates who he is, that he's like turned himself into this knight, which he thinks is a better version of himself. And so, but I agree. Sometimes I can't tell if it's bad acting, if it's bad writing. I tend to think it's more the writing. I do think the guy who plays him does a good job. But I think sometimes the dialogue options and what they chose, maybe there's somebody out there with an Xbox controller just hitting those really bad dialogue options.
Maybe that's good point. It. Good point. Yeah. Interesting. Agility. You got to be quick in the wasteland. What we're going to do is run through the major plot points of the episode, starting with the opening where we see Thaddeus and Maximus at the campfire, and they are just hitting it off. These are best buds now, and they are discussing how they have the head, which is sitting right next to them, and they're all giddy about it. Thaddeus says, you know, oh, you should brand me, and they make it into a bro out moment, and he brands them. And unfortunately, this is when Maximus decides to reveal himself as, I am not actually Knight Titus, it's me. And he says just very oddly, like, oh, we could be friends. Like, we just got to get our story straight. He's like, they're going to kill you. He's like, not if we bring back the head. And it's just like, I could have, like, if it was me and I'm let's just say that I'm savvy or I'm trying to talk myself out of this. He has to be like, listen, here's what happened. Cause like everybody just, for some reason, it's a death sentence that the knight is gone. I guess it's really bad that he stole the armor and like assumed the identity, but anything could have happened. Nobody knows that he like let him bleed out and he right. never gets into this with anyone. So he just acts super guilty, you know? And like, basically Thaddeus is probably assuming that he killed him like outright instead of just letting him bleed out or whatever. So anyway, I just thought it was weird and a weak moment, and they turn on each other and Thaddeus locks Maximus into the power armor by removing the effusion core from the back. Any thoughts on this scene, Clay?
I guess, I mean, the only redeeming part of it is the fact that Thaddeus's character is like really good and the guy who plays him does a great job. I mean, it's interesting. You, like, we like the bully now more than we like the guy who was getting bullied when we first met him. It's just, it's weird. Yep. And that, I mean, that might be intentional. It's also kind of ironic that Thaddeus is like a better, I think I said this last episode, he's a better squire than Maximus was. He literally got in a fight with a dude with power armor, got behind him. Granted, he got his foot smashed, but he got behind him and literally was able to like power him down and be able to get away. And so it's just like, once again, he's just a better, you know, squire and a better character, in my opinion. I really like his character, and I never would have expected that to happen. I thought when he flew away and looked down and saw Thaddeus, that was the last time we were going to see him. The fact that they brought him back and made him kind of lovable and like a helpful character is kind of surprising.
And he crushes his foot, so Thaddeus is injured as he hobbles away, interestingly. So the next morning, we find Maximus still in the power armor, sweating it out. He's, you know, obviously dehydrated and tired of being in the suit, I'm sure. And Lucy saves him from rad roaches that are snipping away at his power armor, which I don't think that would be, you know, a death sentence necessarily, but who knows, you know, maybe they're eating parts. He's like, no, not there. So maybe they're eating soft parts, you know, of something. I don't know. Yeah. But she saves him with some really well-placed shots. Don't forget that she's trained in the art of shooting from back in her time in the vault. And she is Wasteland Lucy. So she's looking badass and she's hesitant to trust him. He's a little hesitant to trust her, whatever. They help each other out, as we said. She gets the rat away, he gets free, and then they make a bond to say, oh, like, I'll get the head back with you in exchange. You give me 5 of your knights because you lie and you say that you are a knight of the Brotherhood. And they agree, and then they walk off together. Again, I thought this was an awkward exchange. I just didn't. I don't like them being together as much as I wanted to like them interacting with each other. And this, that's every scene that they're in together. I'm like, this could be better. There's like some weird lack of chemistry, I believe. I just don't think that the two personalities bounce off each other well. Maybe I had assumptions of what their relationship was going to be like, and it just seemed very odd. Any thoughts here?
Nope.
Moving on, we go back and we see Norm and Chet, and they have, just to reiterate, seen all the dead bodies in Vault 31, and they come out and say, oh, you know, we got to make sure that they don't suspect anything, and they lie to the overseer, or the soon-to-be overseer, to tell them, you know, we're not going to, you know, let them know that we've been snooping around out there. We've just been planting potatoes or taters. So they have uncovered that Vault 31 is the place that people are trying to get into. They know what's in there is written on the wall. We don't know why. So the mystery continues with that. When we catch back up with the crew, they are on the bridge and they are crossing. And it turns out that there are other people in the Wasteland that are skittish as well. And they do a little standoff. Lucy tries her best to bring some calm to the whole situation, but things go awry and there's a gun battle and that Maximus gets shot and says it's 'tis blood of a flesh wound. I should say, too, that Lucy and Maximus have some discussions about, hey, can you tell me what's been happening in the last 200 years? And they go back and forth. I think we learn a couple interesting tidbits. What bothers me the most about all of this is I like that they're talking. I like that she's getting more information, but there must be things that they're talking about that we're not privy to. So it kind of irks me, and I'm like, oh, but does she know this? Did he say this to her? But the main things come out was that bombs fell yet again. The bombs fell when Maximus was a kid, and, you know, things aren't going well up here, long story short. Any thoughts about the bridge exchange or learning more with Lucy and Maximus?
Nope.
We go and the election continues for the Overseer, and it's a pretty shoo-in that Davey even explains to one of the people running. He's like, in times of crisis, you know, I'm just going to vote for the woman. I think her name is Betty, I think we said. So, lamenting, he just votes, you know, against himself. Very interesting to see that. And the Overseer later is crowned victorious and gives them a tour of the vault that is somehow clean. And again, we know that Norm is doing his detective work. And I think what this is saying is that he looked up on the computer that Betty Pearson, the newly elected Overseer, that they already knew that she was going to be Overseer ahead of the election. Is that what happened here, Clay?
I missed that.
He's on the computer, and he sees the names of the prior Overseers.
Right,
and it goes down, 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 and then he hits his dad. And then the next one on the computer is Betty Pearson, and it's her name on there, and it says 31 to 33. And I don't know if that means years or that's a transfer. Vault 31 to 33. Ding, ding, ding. All right, so duh. It looks to me like they were priorly elected, though, because it does say elected Overseer. So
she used to be the Overseer, remember? Don't they say that?
Did she come up twice then? Let's attribute this to us not being able to follow what they're trying to lay down, probably as much as they were trying to lay it down, because they are going through the personnel records. They're looking at the transfers, but then it also says Overseer, if I'm not mistaken. So who knows? I think this is going to come out in later episodes about why this was even suspicious. He's going to say something out loud instead of thinking it at some point. But Norm is suspicious of people from the other vault and them coming over. And then they ask the woman who just had the baby, they say to Stephanie Harper, they say, oh, so how is the vault over there? He's like, what did your dad tell you? He's like, that the mashed potatoes were way better. And she's like, well, that must be it. And doesn't give any other information about the other vaults. So we have no idea if the people over there are like creepy or different or what it's like over there, because no one's been that way, I guess. Is that odd or what? Like, is this just like the weirdest thing ever? Because I'm not following. Like, I can't even theorize where I think this is going. Did you, when you watch this, do you have theories that you kind of know where this is leading? Don't tell me what it is, because I'm sure you're spot on and you know.
I have my theories.
You had your theories. Okay. That's all I need to know. So I'm the clueless person watching this that just isn't picking up what they're putting down. We see the cratered out former city of, do you remember what the city is that the NCR had started to build up to a population that was pretty high before it seemed to have gotten nuked back into a crater?
Shady Sands?
That was it. About? Okay, right. Yeah. I keep forgetting that name. It just doesn't stick with me. Maybe it was a present in another game. Maybe Fallout New Vegas, like you were saying, but unsure. So we have them come up looking for medical supplies into a medical facility that was affiliated or a branch of Vault Tech, and they end up taking the bait and getting stuck in a little fake hallway that puts them down a shaft, and they wake up magically in a vault where Lucy says they're in the best place ever, a vault. And that is the end of the episode.
So according,
very, very cool.
Yeah. Sorry, real quick about Shady Sands. According to the wiki, Shady Sands first appeared in the original Fallout with the New California Republic only being mentioned in the end cutscenes. The NCR first appears in Fallout 2 as an advanced Shady Sands. In Fallout New Vegas, Shady Sands is mentioned by missionaries in the quest GI Blues. So only mentioned, not actually seen.
Cool. Well, I mean, for information to be, you know, in the post-nuclear, you know, wasteland age, the way that things would be passed down, what people would know about, like, a lot of it's rumor and speculation. Like, it's not exactly the internet age anymore, so, you know, who knows? There has been talk about this TV show being canon, and that some people were upset with any inconsistencies they may find in timeline or story. But we're going to get more into that later, I think, when we learn more about what's really going on here. And that's it. Luck. With any luck, what will we see next episode or in future episodes of Fallout? I keep coming back to it. For me, it's the vault. In particular, I need to know what's going on with the election and why it may or may not have been set up or nefarious. The fact that we have people from Vault 31 always becoming the overseer, newly elected, they've always come from that vault, get to 33, and then get elected. And for somebody to be pulling strings like that seems like odd, and I just need to know. Anything for you, Clay? Any theories or speculation or something that's pulling you through that you want to see in the next episodes?
I guess what I wrote down is I'm just excited to see Lucy's character just develop a little bit more. Earlier you mentioned she's kind of becoming this wasteland version of herself, where she's a little more BA. And so I'm hoping for more of that. I want to see her get past being gullible. Obviously, we don't want her to get to the point where she's completely hardened and doesn't see the good in anyone. But I want to see her blowing up some heads and getting some revenge. So I'm hoping to see where they can take her character even further moving forward. So
cool. And now for our 5-star review. How many stars would you rate episode 5, Clay?
Yeah, so I don't have a lot of negatives about this episode. I think overall a lot of it really worked well. I think the only negative I have, not that it's really a negative, is there's just no the ghoul guy in this. There's no Cooper Howard. But it's interesting, last episode 4, there was no Maximus. So it's like they're kind of like sitting one character out per episode, it kind of feels like, just to give time for some of these other characters. And so obviously I'm a big Walton Goggins fan, so I want to see more of him. But overall, I really enjoyed this. So it wasn't a perfect episode, but it was pretty close. So I gave it a 4 out of 5.
I was conflicted and I went back and forth a couple times, but I landed on a 3 because it just wasn't as enjoyable as some of the other episodes that I've seen. And when I look scene by scene and part by part, the most compelling thing has already kind of been there, which is more of the vault mystery. And then a little bit of the lore dump of, oh wow, shocker, like we did build up society again and it basically fell again. But other than that, because of the kind of lack of chemistry between Lucy and Maximus and nothing else like really new or shocking like going on, it's like the promise of something that's going to happen. It was just a little worse in my opinion than some of the other things that we saw, and I'm going to go with a 3. The story itself is good, but not too much happens that really like was exciting or blew me away. It was very tame to me compared to some other things that we've seen so far. So I'll give it a 3. Maybe that's a little unpopular with
fair enough.
But yeah. Thank you, everybody, for joining us for another episode of Fallout Fans. We're nearing the end. Can you feel it? 3 more episodes left until the season 1 is wrapped. Only 8 episodes. Can you believe it? I wish we had more. Oh, we'll see you next time as we travel through the wasteland.